Do you ever feel like you are not good enough? Do you ever feel unworthy to approach God because of your sins or your daily failure? If so, you are not alone. There were great people of faith that have felt the exact same way before you. They felt that they were unable to be with Jesus because they were too sinful. I will list three of these faithful people who felt like they could not be with Jesus because of their own unworthiness. The first is Peter. I remember there's one piece of scripture that notices when Peter notices that Jesus is fully God. They were out fishing, and Jesus gives them a great catch of fish. And when Peter realizes who he's standing beside, he says to him, "Away from me, I am a sinner." We are going to look at the last night of Jesus' life on earth in before his death. Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. He came around, went from one person to the next person, washing his disciples' feet. And John tells us that he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Even though Peter walked with Jesus for so long, he still felt unworthy. He knew that he wasn't good enough to approach Jesus. And here was Jesus approaching him on his knees. He could not be this close to God because of the sins in his life. He didn't deserve it. He was right. But have you ever felt like Peter did? Maybe you've been coming to church your whole life, but you've never really felt like you can talk to God in prayer because of your sins. Maybe you've been coming with your family to church. Maybe you brought your family to church, but you feel ashamed at times because you're not in a close relationship with Jesus yourself. Maybe people look up to you. Maybe your friends. They think, "Now that's a Christian." But you are ashamed personally because you yourself know that you're not as good as they think that you are. If you feel like this, you are not alone. This is how Peter felt. Now remember, among his peers, they saw him as the person closest to Jesus. It was always Peter, James, and John who went to do the special things. But Peter knew. Peter knew what was inside him. But thanks be to God that Peter's feelings did not stop Jesus. Let's take a look at how Jesus responded to Peter. Jesus still insists on being with Peter. He still insists on washing Peter's feet. Jesus desires to have a part with Peter. Does Peter desire to have a part with him? He basically is telling Peter, "Peter, a relationship with me cannot only be part way. You must allow me to cleanse you." to make you totally new. And Peter's response is priceless. He says, "Then, Lord, just not my feet, but my hands and my head as well." He wants to be a part with Jesus. But Jesus has to do the work. Jesus wants to wash you as well. He wants to wash you through confession and absolution, through the preaching of his word, through baptism and the supper. I've heard many people, and I'm sure, maybe you've heard this, but I hear it as a pastor all the time. People will say, "Well, if I came to church, or if I walked in those doors, the building would come crumbling down." That's a lie. Jesus desires to have you in this upper room, so to speak, where he can wash you and serve you. You are unworthy. Peter had it right. He was unworthy. But Christ, who is worthy, wants to take care of us who are unworthy. He cleansed Peter. He cleansed you in those waters. If you have not submitted to the washing of water with the word, which is called baptism, he wants to wash you as well. The second person that I would like to look at is Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King, but the founder of the Lutheran Church. Martin Luther, German monk in the 1500s. Martin Luther, in his early days, was a man who walked in constant fear. He saw Jesus as a ruthless judge who he could never approach, though he knew that he needed to. Luther, before he discovered grace, was looking to his own righteousness for worthiness to approach God. And Luther knew that there was nothing good in him. Nothing good in him that would allow him to approach the throne of God. He knew that no matter how hard he tried, he was just too sinful. He had done things. He had thought things. Now remember, everybody in his monastery thought that he was the greatest. Like, wow, look at the passion in that guy. But he knew his thoughts were soiled with sin. And he was deathly afraid of Jesus. One night, while Luther was in the monastery, thoughts of his sinfulness were so strong, he whipped himself into unconsciousness. Only to be found the next morning by some of his fellow monks. A guilty conscience is a terrible thing. Do you have a guilty conscience? Do you feel unworthy before a holy God? Do you understand why Luther could whip himself? In these feelings of darkness, Jesus still came to Luther. He came to Luther in the scriptures. In the scriptures, Luther realized that his holiness did not depend on his works. It depended on the work of the Holy One, Jesus. Luther could not depend on his works to become righteous. He had to receive the works of Jesus for that righteousness. Let me share with you the scripture that changed Luther. Romans 1:17. "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from the first to last, as it is written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.'" Luther realized that his righteousness was not found in himself, but his Lord. My friends, if you are feeling unworthy, you are right. Jesus has come to you in your baptism, and he comes to you today in words of absolution, in the words of this sermon. And he comes to you in the scriptures, which you are allowed to read for yourself, just as Martin Luther did when he came across that passage. Jesus makes you worthy. Let these words set you free. Let the word set you free, as it set Martin Luther free. And in our gospel lesson today, we see our last example, and we see the fulfilling of all righteousness take place. Our gospel lesson has John the Baptist carrying out the duties of his ministry. He is preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and he is a powerful message deliverer. He was calling out people left and right for their sin. But then, God in the flesh approached him. And John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" Do you ever feel unworthy to tell others about Jesus because you're afraid they're going to put the microscope on your life and say, "Who are you?" Do you ever feel like you are a fraud to tell your friends about the one who came to save them? John did. Sure, he could baptize as long as he wasn't too close to God. He could tell others to approach Jesus. "Come, get this forgiveness of sins." But when it came time for him to be intimate with the Lord in this baptism, he did not want to do it. We can all feel this way. But look at Jesus' reply. He says, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." And with these words, John held the head of the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. I just realized how unbelievable that is. Luther later realized this same thing. In Jesus, in his baptism, right, the righteousness from God came to earth. And the scriptures tell us that as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." What happened here is a glimpse of the Holy Trinity. We see the Father delighting in the Son. We see the Holy Spirit doing what the Holy Spirit always does. He points to Jesus. He illumines Jesus. And we see Jesus standing in the water. Why is this amazing? John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is sinless. He needs not this baptism. We do. Here, the sinless comes to be with the sinful, to stand in their place. Ephesians 5 equates baptism with marriage. In marriage, you receive all that the other has, and they receive all that is yours. The Lamb of God received all of your sin, and he began his journey to the cross. And what did you receive? All righteousness. The Father became your Father. Galatians 3, 26 through 29, or 27 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. God came to John. He comes to you. So whenever you feel like you are not good enough to approach God because of your unrighteousness, you are absolutely right. But remember that righteousness from God has come to you. You are righteous because God the Son has stood in your place. He has received the death that you deserved. And in your baptism, you've received the life and the righteousness from God that only Jesus deserved. And in your baptism, you hear the words from the Father saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. He loves you. With him, I am well pleased." And now may this peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until he returns for you. Amen.